praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one this evening. Praise God. Let's turn in our Bibles to John's Gospel. And while we're turning, just a couple of announcements. Brother Gary will be away on Sunday morning preaching down for Brother Billy. So Brother Mark's going to lead the service for us Sunday morning. And then Mark's going to be preaching on Sunday night as well. And pray for me as well. I'm preaching on Saturday night. So pray for all the meetings that the Lord will touch somebody. Somebody will get saved. That's the main thing, isn't it? Touch from the Lord. Let's turn to John's Gospel. John 14, verse 17. Maybe we could stand just where we read one verse tonight. Praise God. John 14, verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth them not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Let's bow our heads tonight, and if you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord, and please remember a call and prayer. Go to hospital, I believe, the day again. Something wrong in his arm. Started with a clot, and I got to pray with him on Tuesday night. He couldn't even straighten arm, then he was able to straighten it. He's believing the Lord's touched him, so pray that God will give him a full recovery in this arm, whatever it is. Apparently it's dangerous if it gets in the bone or something, whatever condition it is. But God can touch him, amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just bow before you tonight in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We just thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace, for your love and your truth you show toward each one of us. We pray, Lord, that you'll just cover us with your precious blood. Forgive us every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed. Sanctify us and wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb. I pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit and the help of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, for the hands that's raised tonight, that you'll meet every single need. You know every single prayer, Lord Jesus. I pray you'll meet every need. Pray for Colin, that you'll touch his arm, that everything will become normal. And I pray for him and Lydia, you'll give them a deeper hunger and thirst for the things of God. For each one of us, give us a deeper hunger and thirst for the things of God. Move in our midst, Lord, we pray. And Father, for the backslider tonight, restore them and renew them. Lord, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Lord, bless those that had to work, Lord, and bless those that's laid aside, maybe sick, has been prayed. We do say amen. And Father, bless the nurses, the doctors, the own people of Israel tonight. Bless them, we pray. And for those in authority in this country, and especially, and Lord, around the world tonight, we pray you'll give your wisdom and guidance in Jesus Christ's name, for we know that you're coming again. Bless your word to our hearts tonight, Lord, and strengthen your people and bless them in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. It's maybe treated. Praise the Lord. God bless you tonight. I want to look at the book of Acts. I know I'm reading from John's Gospel, but I'm probably not going to tell you anything you don't know, but I'm just reminding us all again of the different things. You know, the book of Acts is called the Acts of the Apostles, but more truly should be called the Acts of the Holy Ghost in the apostles, in the church. And we know the church began the book of Acts. There's an inauguration in the book of Acts. And I believe the secret to this book of Acts is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and the presence and power of the Holy Spirit working in the church at that time when it began, and revealing the mysteries on so many things that came into the body of Jesus Christ at that time. There are about 50 references in Scripture, specifically to the Holy Spirit, through the book of Acts. And the believers recognized in the book of Acts, as every one of us should recognize, they recognized their need, their dependence upon the Holy Spirit. They recognized their need for Him, for to witness and to live for God. They knew they needed the Holy Spirit. And we tonight, 2026, need the same Holy Spirit to live right, to witness to others, and to live a life worthy of the gospel, we need the Holy Spirit. They knew that they were powerless without the Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing, but with the Holy Spirit, anything's possible. And you know the Great Commission which Christ called them, and he gave them, it was a promise of the Father. The coming of the Holy Spirit was the promise of the Father coming on the church. And you know Jesus said, John baptizes with water, but there's woman coming after him, her shoe latch is not worthy to latch. He'll baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, there's five things here about the book of Acts. Five things I just want to briefly mention, and they're not points on them, just five things I've wrote out on them. Just really go over a bit the background of the book of Acts tonight. It mightn't be long, but there's the Acts of the Apostles. There's the Acts of the Ascended and Glorified Lord. There's the Gospel of the Resurrection. There's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And there's the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. All in the book of Acts. Luke, we believe, is the man that wrote the book of Acts. Luke, the physician. He's recognized as the author and the writer of the book of Acts. And he also wrote the Gospel, Luke's Gospel. Now, when you read Acts 1, verse 1, and I'm reading it, and then I'm going to read Luke, just so you get the idea of it, because it's Luke. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, Acts 1, verse 1, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Then if you go to Luke 1, verse 1 to 4, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed amongst us. So Luke is saying it's a declaration set forth of those things believed amongst us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me, also having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mayest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So Luke is saying that he knows it right. He knows it because he was with the Lord and he knows it, and he set these things forth. Now we know the divine offer. I know I'm saying Luke wrote it, but the divine offer is God. It is the Holy Spirit, like it says in the Old Testament, moved on men, and they speak as they're moved by God. So it is, it's inspired of God. It's God's divine word. And it's inspired of God. And the book of Acts is part of all scripture which is written, inspired by God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction. Timothy 2, 3, verse 14, 17 says this: but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. Now I'll tell you, there's a lot of people today don't believe that. There's an awful lot of people today, and they're putting out what they call the gospel, but they deny this very verse here. They deny that you can be saved by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They tell us there's another way. There's another way to get it. But I don't see it in the Bible. I don't see it. I see it that, like it says here, to make thee wise unto salvation. So if you're, when you get saved, you're wise. It is the fool that said in his heart, there's no God, which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And we're not saved by works, but the Bible says here all good works. So we should have good works. And I know a lot of Christians think they shouldn't have good works, but that's not right. We should have good works. And you look at the Lord Jesus, he's our example. He went about doing good. and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. So the Lord Jesus himself had good works. Now, if you weren't saved, good works wouldn't save you. But once you're saved, good works should follow a good Christian. They should follow us once we're saved, because the Bible says it should. 2 Peter 1, verse 19 to 21. We have also more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. It's unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day of dawn, the day of star rise in your hearts. Know this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So they weren't forced by the Holy Spirit, they were moved by the Holy Spirit. There's a difference. I could force you to do something that's against your will. But God does not force us to do something against our will. The Holy Spirit leads us. See, you have a free will. You have a free choice. So you cannot make somebody go against their will. It'll never work. They might do something to please you, but if they're not really interested, it'll not work. But if the Holy Spirit moves a person, and the Holy Spirit moves them that they're willing to do it, that's a different thing. Amen. Now the whole ministry of Christ, that's what Luke's saying through the Acts of the Apostles. It all concerns Christ's earthly ministry. All through it, this treatise that Luke's writing about is all about the ministry of Jesus Christ, covering the details of his birth. Now, Luke's telling you of his birth, of his resurrection, of his ascension, and the gospel revealed the Christ after the flesh. And Luke's second writing, if you like, in the book of Acts. So understand what I'm saying. His first writing is revealing to you all about Jesus Christ. Tells you when he's born. Shows you his follies, his miracles, his ministry, everything, and right to the ascension to heaven. Then you come to the book of Acts. Luke's writing again. The second treatise. And it's Christ's heavenly ministry. And it reveals him in the ministry since his ascension and his exaltation to the throne of God. So if there's anything going to happen ministry-wise anywhere, it is the Lord Jesus Christ still. And if it's not, it's not God. It's the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did William Branham say many, many times? He said, it's not me that's doing it, it's him. It's the Lord Jesus Christ again doing it. He says, William Branham couldn't do that which was just done. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Peter and Paul and all them men of God and apostles couldn't do what they'd done. It was the Lord in them. And the Lord was in them because the Father promised that the Holy Ghost would come in the name of Jesus Christ, in my name. Said, I'm going away, but I'll send unto you another comforter in my name. Now the Bible says one will come in his own name, and him they will receive. But Jesus said that he came in his Father's name, and they never received him. And that's something tonight. He came in his Father's name, and they didn't receive him. And one will come in his own name, him they will receive. And the world today, and many of what's called the church world, is running after the mark of the beast in Rome. They're already running after it. They're following it. They're preaching their doctrines and everything. They're doing it. None. But God always has a people. A true people. And some people might say, the book of Acts is not for the day. Well, I believe it is. I believe it's a theme, and I believe it's written here in great detail. We're going to look at it. And the book of Acts reveals Christ after the Spirit. Luke reveals Christ after the man, the flesh, that he was a man from his birth right up. But the book of Acts reveals him as a Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit working in the book of Acts. It's still the Lord Jesus doing it. And you know the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. Amen. It glorifies Jesus. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 and 18. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, his new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, we have politicians, and I'm not getting on to politicians tonight, but let me drop this in. We have politicians in this country, you know who I'm talking about, and they say they believe in reconciliation, but they're liars. They're not interested in reconciliation, they're interested in what their side of it. But reconciliation has to be for all, not just one side of it. It has to be for everybody. Everybody reconciled together. Is that right? That's the Bible. Now, if them politicians were serious, and that organization that belonged to were serious, the first thing they'd do is come out in the open and repent for all the murders they were behind. They'd have to repent of it. And they could never make reconciliation until they repent. It can never happen. There has to be a repentance. And you know when you part of getting saved is repenting. You have to repent of your sins. You just don't come to the Lord and willy-nilly. You have to repent. There has to be a repentance. Now we know that. The Bible is clear in that. Now I want to first of all for you to see the position of this book of Acts. Its position is in the New Testament. It's placed rightly after the gospel and before the epistles to the church. That's its position. After the gospel, before the epistles. And the four gospels we see, you know, all the life of Christ, everything from his birth, right through his life, his dying on the cross, his resurrection, and then we're up into the book of Acts. And what you're seeing in the book of Acts, we see the corn bringing forth fruit. Now you see the corn of wheat fell into the ground and died through them gospels. That's what it was. But in the book of Acts, that corn of wheat's not falling into the ground and dying again. It's a fruit of that corn of wheat in the book of Acts is now coming forth. It's now been produced in the church. In the church. And you remember the church is the mystical body of Jesus Christ. And you can't join it. And there's lots of places and you join them and all the rest of it. That's all right. I'm not going to say too much about it. But you have to be born into this church. I don't mean this here. I mean this mystical body of Jesus Christ. You are born into it. And there's people that's been born into it all over the world. All colors and all different peoples all over the world are born into it. And they're all the children of God because they're born in and they're baptized by one spirit into that mystical body of Jesus Christ. And they're partakers of it. They're part of the body. And the fruits of that corn of wheat that died in the ground, the fruits of it, we've saw them in the book of Acts. And we've saw them down through the seven church ages. All through the seven church ages, we've saw it still. Right down, you come right down into Azusa Street. And you see the power of God in Azusa Street. And then right on down. And then comes the supernatural ministry in the 20th century that can reveal the secrets of the heart. Known things about people and everything. It's absolutely phenomenal. And there's no denying it. Now I know people, some people don't want to hear nothing about it, but it's the truth. God definitely visited his people. Now, when you come on up then down, the Lord Jesus Christ has a corn of wheat, fell into the ground and died, but he's not dead no more. He's living. And not only has he's rose from the dead, but he has birthed a church. And he's given that church life. Now, I'm not talking about a denomination somewhere with a name on it. I'm talking about the true body of Jesus Christ, the mystical body of Jesus Christ. His life's in that body. Now John 12, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now you see, that was fruit. When them disciples went forth and they preached Jesus Christ, Philip, the evangelist, preached Christ unto them. And the devils come out. Then we saw the other week, then the apostles came and they prayed for them people. Because they hadn't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were saved and they believed in the Lord. But they still hadn't received the baptism. See, there's three things has to happen. Justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Three things. You know, a lot of people get saved and that's it. Now, they're in a justified state. They're not lost. But they never move on. And many of them are not even in a sanctified condition, really. Some of them's not living right. Now, we know that's the truth. And then, maybe take a notion, we'll have the Holy Spirit, but the whole thing's not set up right for it. But when it's set up right according to the Word of God, God will give the Holy Spirit to them that obey Him. That's the Bible. He'll give the Holy Spirit to them that obey Him. Now, some people say we don't need to get baptized in water. Well, then you don't want to obey God. Because the Bible says we're to get baptized in water. Acts 2:38. And there's other scriptures. So that's obeying God for to get baptized in water. So it's all obedience. It's like the prophet of God said, it's a prescription. And when you follow the prescription, you get what it says. It's like I told a story about the wee boy. I'd read it from a great missionary, and the wee lad's name was Adula. And he was very ill, and he went, it's a true story from a missionary. And they took him to the doctors, and he hadn't been well. And the doctor gave him a bottle of medicine, and so that he wouldn't have lost it, come back home again, he put a wee, like a lace, round his neck, and he tied the wee bottle on the lace. And the instructions was on the bottle. Now the instructions was a teaspoon or a soup spoon, whatever it was, three times a day. But Abdullah went about and his parents didn't know how to read the bottle. And he didn't know how to read it, but the doctor never thought. And he had the bottle with him for days, tied around his neck, but he never got better. Because he never read the instructions on that bottle. But then there was another missionary just happened to be passing through. And he saw the wee boy wasn't too well, and he saw the bottle around him, and the bottle was still full. And he said, "Do you mind if I can read this bottle?" And he read it, and then he told him, "You need to take the stuff in the bottle, and when you administer what the instructions are, then you'll have the results." And he began to take the medicine, whatever the doctor gave him, and in a few days he was real well again. And you see, there's some people, you think they're hearing it, but there's never no action with it. They don't really hear it. You see, if it's not mixed with faith, it won't work. And you know, even when you read about Moses and the people, the Bible says God was grieved with them because of their unbelief. They never entered in. And you know, they wandered for 40 years. The 40-day journey took 40 years. For they wondered. And God blessed them and preserved them in it, but they still, it shouldn't have been 40 years. And they're full of unbelief. And every time God would deliver them and do something, we're up on the mountaintop, then next thing they're down again. And we're the same. And you might say, "Well, I'm not." Well, I tell you, I am. All of us are. We're moved by things. There's things that affect us. There's things that'll make us feel good, and there's other things won't make us feel too good at all. It's like they tell you, if you have a wee fella and you keep slapping him around the ears, and you slap his ears all his life and tell him he's useless and he's no good, it's not going to do him no good. Now that's not the way you do it. But if you put your hand on his shoulder and say, "No, I'm going to tell you, son, you're doing well. You're doing really well. My son came with me to a job, and I was surprised he stuck at it, to be honest with you, because it's not the type of job for a young fella getting out of his bed at 5:30 a.m. I'm telling you what, Not many young fellows would do it. I didn't think he'd stick it. Missed a few days at the start, then he got to be. Started coming steady. And he had to learn it. He didn't know what he's doing. He'd never done it, he'd never worked with a shovel. He'd never done things, drove a machine, none of it. But he started learning it. And one day the foreman came over to him and he took him to the side and he says, William, I've been watching you. And he says, I'm really impressed with you. And he says, I can't believe the way you've come on. And the way you're driving that dumper, he says, there's boys, if you let them not dump around the building site where it's busy, they'd wreck it and wreck somebody. But you take your time and you're going around well and you sign you to a job and you do it. And you know what I'm going to tell you? He's tall enough, but he come home 2 inches taller that night. That's the truth. But now if I'd have said to him, well, you're useless to this and that. Now, I'll be honest with you. When I was young, I never got a big encouragement to do anything. So I'm maybe a bit over the top. When my children wanted to play sports and get involved in sports, I was all for it. Now, you might think, well, you shouldn't be into sports, but I totally disagree with that. I believe exercise is good. And even when you're older, keep at it. And you see this business, somebody tell you, you don't need to do it. You want to take that and throw it out the window and you want to double on whatever you're doing. Because that's pure nonsense. Keep on it. It'll make you feel better. And I'm telling you, it works. It works. Keep on it. And I tell you, no, I used to love running. I know I don't look like it. But I was a good runner. Now, I was watching a fella running recently. I've watched this fella. And it was real strange that I watched this recently. I believe God was talking to me, watching this fellow run. Now, you mightn't get this, but I did. I actually cried. I didn't want the wife seeing it, but I cried when I watched this fellow running. Because she didn't know what I was watching. But God was talking to me. Now, this fellow was a real good runner, but he got a bad injury. And it ruined his chances for the Olympic Games. He could have been an Olympic runner. 1,500 metres. So he decided then eventually he could heal, but it had ruined him for that time in his career. But he kept running, he enjoyed running. And then he started making like YouTube videos and he'd try out shoes. So he was the first fella ever to break the world record in a pair of Crocs. Now I'm telling you one thing, you would never run a marathon in a pair of Crocs, but he did. But that's not advisable, and he said that. He broke under the 3 hours, 3 hours in a pair of Crocs. And he says when you get just over the 20-mile mark, running a marathon, 26 mile, when you get over the 20-mile mark, you hit the wall. And you get a fellas and they look fantastic, they look brilliant. And he said himself, see at the start, he was too quick. The pace he set at the start was too quick. And he says, I will pay for this later. And later on, when the 20-mile mark comes, if you set too big of a pace at the start, you will not finish that race. You hit the wall. And I tell you, he hit the wall, but he went through it. And do you know how he went through it? He thought he wasn't going to be able to finish. He hadn't far to go, only a couple of miles. But he thought he'd never get through it. He wouldn't finish it. But there's a fella running beside him. And he said to him, I don't know many marathons. This fella had run a lot of marathons. This was an older man. And he says, I'm going to give you the secret to finish this marathon. Now, would you hear this? He says, I want you to clear your mind right now and think positive things, good things. Amen? And the Bible tells us we're to cast down vain imagination. We're to cast down reasoning. Every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, we're to cast it down. And we're to think good thoughts. And I tell you, he cleared his mind. And he broke the record in a pair of Crocs. And he inspired people to wear these Crocs. You know, everybody knows what Crocs shoes are. You wear them around the house like slippers. And then he did another video with this yoke on him. See, it was cheating. But he admitted it was cheating. She went down your legs. She's dropped on your knees here. She's for mountain climbing. She goes in botteries. There's a bottery pack where. And they had to change it. She helps you. And he broke the record again at her. He done it in 2 hours, 40 something. And he tested all these different shoes, but he talked about hitting the wall. And you see, in one of his things, here's another thing. Now, I wasn't going to tell you this tonight, but I'm telling you anyhow. I hope it's encouraging you. There's one thing a runner that runs long distance carries. Now, if you're trying to lose weight, they'll tell you it's bad for you. Salt. Salt. Salt tablets is one of the most important things for running around a long race. And he dropped his, because he's not much stuff he was trying to carry. He dropped the salt tablets, and he says, I know, I'll pay for it, I'll cramp. And he cramped. He cramped in the race. And the Bible again says, if a salt has lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? And I tell you, we need him a salty. And we're in a race this evening. We're in a race. We're running in a race. We're part of the body of Christ. We're running in a race. And there's so many things along the journey. And he says, and that marathon, things hit him and came to him that he never thought of. And he said it was far, far harder than he thought. See them crocs? He had bad blisters on his feet, wearing them things. But he said he couldn't not finish. He had to finish. Paul says we're running a race. We're in a race tonight. We're running a race. The book Acts is the fruit of the seed sown. The charge is brought to birth, and the change through Christ's death and resurrection that brought that power that changes people. And through the book of Acts, we see the fruits. The gospel, we have the promise or the prophecy that the Lord would build his church. In Matthew 16, the promise God would build his church. And he told it to Peter. And the gates of hell, Matthew 16, verse 18. Matthew 16, verse 18 says that God will build his church and the gates of hell not prevail against it. So the idea to say the church has failed, well, an organization might fail, but the real church cannot fail. Because God cannot break his own word. And the word of God says it shall prevail, and the gates of hell can be against it, but they will not prevail. The church will prevail. And God is coming for a victorious people, better than that, without spot or wrinkle. Amen? The gospel, we see Christ purchasing the church with his own blood, and the Acts, we see his church that was purchased, rising into action, and into existence, marching forth, conquering and to conquer. That's the church that Jesus Christ paid for and redeemed with his own blood. The Acts establishes for us the foundation truths and principles of the church, the word, indeed. While the epistles declared and defines the liberties of the doctrines practiced for the church. But the book of Acts gives us the blueprint, the date, what it's to be. The standard of doctrine practice is set forth for the church from the ascension of Jesus Christ to the second advent, when he reveals the church unto himself forever without spot or wrinkle. Then you have the scope. And this is just more scriptures, and I'm closing. This is only the introduction tonight. I didn't want to get too much hand on the fort. The scope. John 21, verse 25 says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they would be written, every one, I suppose, that not even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. And I want to say tonight, the book of Acts, I believe, is a book that you could say is not finished. Because the Holy Spirit is still acting. I love a tremendous statement Brother Branham made. And he says, you see, when you're building a building. And I scaffold for a few years. Bobby would remember me doing the scaffolding. We used to scaffold in the houses up. And as they build the house, we would be called and we would have to go to whatever site it was and raise a scaffold. And we would raise a scaffold, and you raised it right up. and they put the roof trusses on. Then it was raised again, right up to where they could put the tiles on it. The slate, the lath, or tiles or lath, or felt on the lath. Then the tiles or slate, whatever they're putting on it. But you know, you don't take any of that scaffold down till the ridge is finished on the top. So even when your roof's on, there's a ridge goes down the middle of it, and that seals it right in. Right in, and the building's finished. And I want to tell you tonight that God has those chosen on his books. And I don't know who they are, and you don't know all who they are, and we don't know the time, but when God's time's right, and the last one comes that's on the book, then it'll happen. But you can't take the scaffolding down until it's finished. And it's not finished yet, for we're still here. And the rapture hasn't took place yet to where we've been caught up to go to be with the Lord. So we're still in the dispensation for the acts can happen. And we need the scaffolding, as it were. We still need it. We need the gifts of Spirit. We need the power of God. The fivefold ministry. We need the whole thing. And we need the fruits as well. And the joy and everything. We need the whole lot. Know the best thing? I'm going to tell you the best thing. I tell you, you need to get good gospel. I'm not talking about this modern stuff, music now. I don't want to even listen to it. Real good gospel singing, praising and worship. I like that fella. I put it up before. David Willows. They had the glory meetings over in England. I don't know if you've ever heard about them over in England. Brother Charlie had the old tapes of it. The glory meetings. Brother Andrew's father was in them meetings and preaching and everything. Brother Andrew preached them. And I tell you, that was real praising and worship. But it does you good. It does you real good. And you start listening to that and you'll feel good. And you know, young people like to listen to music. And they get into the music. And I tell you, as Christians, we need to get into good music. The right music. It's good to have music, the right kind of music. Amen. So it shows the Gospels. It's all that he's written this out. Luke has. He's the writer of the Acts, of the life ministry of Christ. So the Acts of Apostles. It's all sketched out, a full history of what happened. Luke's done it all out. And all the glory in it, and all the ministry in it, in this early church, glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. If everything said and done was recorded, the world couldn't even hold the books. That's what it says about the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you read the Gospels and you read about the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not reading everything. Because the Bible says if everything was written, what he'd done, there wouldn't be enough books in the world to hold it. Amen? Now, I've seen a lot of books. You know, Ian Paisley, most of you would know of Ian Paisley. And I never knew that's myself. And then I went down one day, his daughter, I can't even remember the name of it standing here right now, but there's a place. Do you remember the name of it? There's a place in Belfast, and you can go in and see all the books Ian Paisley had. But Ian Paisley hired two different wee houses to hold the books he had. Now, there's Perry Green, there's Ian Paisley, and there's Spurgeon. And them three men had something in common. Now you might know this, but I know it. Because I've studied it, and I know what I'm talking about. You see, if you were to read this Bible, how long would it take you? A long time. But Spurgeon could read a book out of the Bible really, really quick. And I mean quick. Perry Green was the same. Them men could read a book. While you would be flicking through the first pages, they'll have it read. And they'll remember it. And I know a man traveled with Ian Paisley to Canada. And he told me there were several books in the back seat. And he said to them, lift whatever book it was, page, you give them the page number and everything. And he said, start reading it. And he started to read it. And the next thing, big Paisley knew every word of it by memory. And there's people like that. Not everybody's like that. There's people gifted that can read quick, really quick. And you might think, how would they ever read all them books? Them men could do it. Spurgeon was an encyclopedia. C.H. Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers. That man was phenomenal. I tell you, he was something else. But you think of it, even all what he was, and how God used that man. See, here Spurgeon was so discouraged, so flattened, so down, that he went off on a weekend and said he wouldn't be preaching. And he went away off for a break. And while he was off, he decided he'd go down to a wee local church somewhere, and he wouldn't miss church. And he went down to a wee local church, and the fella that was meant to preach, the pastor, was off. He wasn't well. So one of the lay members that did a bit of preaching, lay preaching, he preached. And when he finished preaching, Spurgeon was renewed. Totally renewed. And he come to the point at the end of the service and he says, "Brother, that sermon that you preached tonight was a word from the Lord. And it has blessed me, it's restored me. God has told me afresh through your sermon, I am called." Now you think of the ministry that man had, and he doubted his call. And look at the ministry he had. And you know what that man said to C.H. Spurgeon? He says, "Brother Spurgeon, that's your sermon. I stole it and I preached it. God's word will not return void." Amen. I remember years ago, some of you might mind it, but I remember the faces when he said it. He said, "I'm going to preach another man's sermon this morning." And everybody was looking. Wonder whose sermon Billy's going to preach. It was the book of Acts. Peter. I remember that. Amen. God could. Let's come and pray tonight. Pray for the services, for Brother Gary for Sunday morning, myself Saturday night, Sunday morning, Brother Mark Sunday evening. Pray for the meetings, that the Lord will have his way. Pray for our children especially, that they'll get saved, that God will get a grip of them. And this spirit here that we've talked about tonight, the way it was worded, that God's Holy Spirit will really move on them and bring them to Christ. Wouldn't it be great? Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you and praise you for your mercy and for your grace, for your love, for your truth that you've showed toward each and every one of us. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Lord, we know that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And Lord, I pray that your people will be encouraged tonight, strengthened tonight, blessed tonight. Lord, I know it mightn't mean the same to other people as it did me when that fella run that race. How the last part was the hardest part, but the most glorious part, crossing the line. Crossing the line and receiving the medal round the neck at the end. Well done. Lord Jesus, we know we're running a race tonight. We need your help. We need your strength. Lord, we would fail on our own. We'd hit the wall, as it were. But we need the Holy Spirit and the salt just to take us on that bit further. Oh God, fill us afresh tonight, I pray. Whatever the enemy meant for bad, turn it for good. And rebuke all the powers of the enemy over every life and every home. And I speak health and strength and joy and blessing over your people in the name of Jesus Christ. I pronounce the blessing, not the curse, but the blessing. And the power of God, the joy of God, and the healing of God, and the salvation of God. Move on our children, we pray. You know all of their names. You know all about them. But we lift them before you again. We pray, Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. Speak to them and move upon them. And draw them by the lovely Holy Spirit, we pray. Oh God, turn them and they shall be saved. Father, for the backslider tonight, Lord, I've seen a man under that bridge down the road. Lord, he's out of his mind, really. But only you could turn him and change him. Lord, Nebuchadnezzar was like the cows in the field. But you turned him and you changed him. And Lord, I pray for that man under that bridge that the Holy Ghost will move on him. And the Holy Ghost will deliver him and set him free in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, grant a mighty move of God amongst your people. Lord, every word for the truth preached, may the Holy Ghost fall upon us in a mighty way. The former rain and the latter rain filling us, Lord. Another Pentecost baptism. Lord, the real Holy Spirit, that life for Christ living in us, living out through us, Lord, and bearing fruits to your wonderful name. Help us live before others a life worthy of the gospel. Forgive us our shortcomings. Lord, things we say that we shouldn't say, cleanse us, forgive us. Wash us in your blood, cleanse us, Lord. Wash us with the washing of the water of the word. Sanctify us tonight. Fill us tonight. Move on everyone tonight. Lord, for the secret prayers that's been prayed, answer, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, you know, people maybe that don't seem to have the drive, the effort. Lord, I pray that you'll stir them, that you'll move them. Lord, you brought all them animals into that ark. You brought them. Noah never lassoed a one. He never put a rope around one. You brought them in, and they came. Lord, from the green pastures, from the hillsides, from all over and all around. And they came into that ark because your spirit drew them. Lord, I pray you'll draw and add to your work such as should be saved, Lord Jesus. Lord, if you don't build a house, they that labor, labor in vain. But we commit it all to you tonight, and ourselves into your keeping and into your hands. And Lord, pray you'll inspire men and women to pray in this meeting. Prayers of faith. Encourage every brother and every sister. May there be not one discouraged. May there be encouraged to run the race. Lord, bless Carl over in New Zealand tonight and David. Lord, you know the whole situation. I just pray you'll meet their needs and bless them. In Jesus' precious name. And have your way in our lives. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Just let's continue to seek the Lord this evening. Praise God.